And call the meeting to order if we can get roll call.
David Aguayo,
Here.
Alan, Angela Bozo, Sherry Carter,
present.
Kathleen Bettman,
present.
Liz Doyle, Chuck Erickson, Judy Karofsky, Glenn Craig,
here.
Aureliano Montes, Stephen Peters, Jim Ring,
here.
Eric Rotier, Kevin Scheibler,
here.
Mike Revere,
here.
Okay, we have seven.
Perfect. We will move on to the approval of minutes. It's in the packet. If you guys had any questions, comments on that. If not, we can move to...
I move to approve the minutes of June.
Second.
That was Kathleen?
Yep.
Thank you.
Excellent. And keep moving right along to any disclosures and recusals.
A bit of core.
Glad.
Who comes before Katie? I just room, City of Madison room tax closure.
And I also continue to serve on the Room Tax Commission and also the Monona Terrace Booking Event Advisory Committee.
Any others? All right, moving on, we have presentations. Today we'll hear from the Madison Lakeway Partners, Jamie Powers, Chief Executive Officer. So without further ado, we can have you come up and give that presentation.
I thought I was going to get like all the insider scoops.
Well, you can.
I'm just going to stand.
Yeah,
you don't mind.
No, sure.
Okay. Well, hello. I'm so happy to be here today to share with you the Lakeway. It's really a magical project, and I moved here for this project. So I'm super excited about it. I moved here from Seattle, which I learned on my very first day here is the only other city on Isthmus. I'd never heard that word before. And four different people told me on my first day, we're on Isthmus. Excellent. To go home and look it up. It's an Isthmus. How do you spell that?
Nobody knows.
But I'm just so happy to be here. I don't know how long I get to keep saying I'm a newcomer, but I've this is my first summer here. So I just had my first concert on the square, and just went to the market, and it's just been a real joy. So I'm super excited about it. The other thing that people kept saying to me when I first moved here was, they've been talking about that forever. And I thought, is that okay? And it turns out, yes, in fact, they have. Right, so John Nolan recommended exactly this project 114 years ago. So what's so great is that we're finally going to start seeing some real action there. So what I thought I would share with you today is kind of a reminder of the big picture, and then drill down a little bit into what's happening in phase one, what you're about to see happen. I know people always have questions about, why is my commute going to change? How long will the road be closed? You know, things like that. So I'll touch on that too. But first, I'd like to share with you the video that Sasaki put together. It's of the master plan. It really shows how big of a project this is. And yes, I'll just go to see.
I might have to turn the volume up.
Madison has had a powerful relationship with its lakes.
Can you hear it?
The lakes became home to the first human inhabitants of the Ho-Chunk Nation. As years passed, the relationship with Lake Monona changed, and we as humans defined the lake. Now is the time for us to give back. The design is woven together through the story walk, a wayfinding element and physical representation of the voices of the lake. A ribbon that morphs from a graphic on a sidewalk to ephemeral carvings and ice to quotes connecting the past, present, and future. They all come together to create a Madison Way to Lake, Madison Lakeway. Our journey starts at the Lake Lounge, where a new iconic pier connects to the Capitol while providing opportunities for art, music, and food along the waterfront. It's a place to come for the big events or to sit quietly while having lunch. Moving southwest along the waterfront, we pause at the community causeway, where new green infrastructure cleans stormwater before it enters the lake. This living edge framework is a restoration strategy that protects and provides a habitat for amphibious life. As temperatures drop, winter programming emerges on Lake Winona. Along Madison's Lakeway, multi-use trails are designed for all speeds and all users from 6 months to 99 years old. Overlook is a hidden green oasis in the midst of an urban landscape. The design restores the forest, provides new water access and community programming like picnic lawns, a nature and culture center, and a new walking trails, including an artful canopy walk.
The city is so special because you get a population that's excited about nature.
Flying back to the Law Park ledge, we pause at the elevator park that connects back to the city, creating new space for a playground, gardens, and a boathouse. This is a place to celebrate what is uniquely Madison, like the Mad City Ski Team.
They give free water skiing shows during the summertime.
The Madison Lakeway connects the city to the lake. East Wilson Street will be a short walk away from a new place for kids to play, restaurants, and a new waterfront amphitheater. This is Madison's opportunity to create a new dialogue with its waterfront, to prioritize the lake's health, and create a new community story, starting at the causeway. Madison Lakeway, a Madison way to lake.
So I don't know if you noticed that, that turtle hat was the little grid downtown. And I have some pins for you. I had someone hunt me down at Christmas. Came found me in the basement at the parks building. Where are the pins? We've got them. So it's a huge project, right? It's huge. We've divided it into four areas, partly so we can talk about it, but also we're going to raise some money. We're going to build something, raise a little more money, build a little more. That's just how we can tackle it because it's such a big project. So from Law Park Ledge coming down toward Olen. So this is really the connector to downtown. And if you can imagine an elevated park, right? It's going to go over the top of the railway and over the top of John Nolan Drive and then down to the water. So it'll be spectacular. We'll be able to do everything here, concerts, get, you know, all kinds of events here. And then moving more toward Olin, this will come out right at, it lines up perfectly with Hamilton Street, if you can picture that. So that's why it has the Hamilton Pier for now. We'll see if it stays called that. And this is, you know, another space for gathering. We'll have rain gardens here, pop-up events, that sort of thing. And then the next section is that skyline section, which is the first section we're going to tackle. You all know it as the causeway. But look, it doesn't look like that at all. This is a new rendering from Sasaki. This is a boardwalk. We're going to have two of them that like curve out over the water. So it should be this really lovely experience for walking. There'll be fishing piers here. The mayor was talking, I don't know if any of you had a chance to go to the Clean Lakes Alliance breakfast that they had a few months ago, but the mayor talked there about the bioretention basins that they're going to build around the tree bases. And there's like a lever that either directs the stormwater to the roots, like in the summer when it's hot, more water. And then in the winter when we have all the salt on the roads, you can direct it away from the tree roots and away from the lake. So it's an experiment, she said, that we're going to try here. So I'm very excited to see how that goes. And then this is another picture also of the same space. But what's great about this picture is you can really see here the separation between the bike path, the walking path, You can't see a running path here, but there is also a running path. There are a couple places where it converges just because of the geography, but there's a rumble strip in between for people who have visual impairments, but also to keep the bikes where they keep the bikes in the bike lane. This is the Skyline Pier, and it will have perfect panoramic views. It will be situated to have the view of the Capitol, the Effigy Mounds, and then Olin Park. And then Olin Park, the design is not done for this space yet. So the possibilities are endless. We're having lots of conversations about, should it be a gathering space that sort of mirrors what's at Olbrich right now? Should there be a natural playground? The picnic lawns, the boat docks, you know, all of that is sort of in the mix right now as part of the master plan. And we're just trying to figure out what's it going to be? What should happen there? Then tip to tip, we'll run the story walk from Olin all the way up to, and that will be the history of Madison, the Ho-Chunk Nation. We're not exactly sure what all is going to be in that or what it will look like, but we just started meetings with the Historical Museum, and they're going to help us out. So we're excited about that. It's going to be beautiful. So this is just another view of that section that Sasaki is really focused on right now, which goes from North Shore to the tip of Olin. And this shows how much space we're going to take back for park space. This red line, this red dotted line, which is part of John Nolan Drive right now, is going to become part of the park. So we're going to gain 18 feet, which is how we're able to have separate paths for everything. We'll also gain another acre of land. So this is another view, just shows how much we're going to be packing into that space. Again, the red dotted line is how far we're going to go. So this is what it looks like now. And this is what it'll look like in the winter. but you can see again here the separated bike path from the walking path, and then the boardwalk that goes over the water. And then this is the Skyline Pier. And the same thing, the red dotted line is how far we're going to move into John Nolan Drive. And then there are the perfect views I was talking about earlier. So what you're going to start to see happen in October is the roadwork on John Nolan Drive, which is a separate project, but it's partly our project too, because the road project, they are building the bike path. So that's going to be great. This is the timeline. This is from the city's website. The long and short of this is that there will always be one lane each direction going along John Nolan Drive, so you should be able to get where you need to go. It might be a little slower, but you will be able to get there. North Shore and Broome Street will sometimes be closed, but never at the same time. And those intersections will remain open. And then if you're a biker, there will be quite a bit of time actually where you'll have a detour all the way around the bay. They're going to start on the bayside and then move to the lakeside for the construction. And then as soon as they're done in July of 27, we'll come in right behind them. And I don't have much of a schedule yet for that. We haven't, the bids aren't even out yet, right? So we're not quite sure, but this is what we think is going to happen. Of course, the bike path will be closed while we're building out the park. But the road, part of the road will still be open. So it'll be essentially the same thing. Some people won't even notice the difference, I don't think. And then I just have here I just put on the last slide. Here's what people always are asking me. How much is this going to cost? Who's paying? When will it be done? And how can I help? So right now, the drawings aren't complete. So we don't have a final estimate on the money. We think that first phase is going to be about $13 million. We don't know yet. But the city has already made a $6 million commitment. The county has made a $2 million commitment. The Lakeway partners have made a $3 million commitment, an effort. We haven't raised the money yet, but that's our plan, is to raise that money from the private sector. And so there's still some left to go. I know that there's some money in the city's proposed budget. It hasn't been passed yet, so I'm not quite sure how that will land, but we're optimistic. We'll be done in the winter of 2028 with this first section. And then if you want to help, you can sign up for our newsletter and stay informed. People, I constantly run into people who either think, oh no, it's not happening, that project was killed, or it's not killed, or so just keep abreast of what's happening. If you have pals who are looking for a way to be involved in the community, of course, we have volunteer opportunities. You can support our swag. And of course, we've just started a big capital campaign. And so you can also make a donation. Happy to answer questions if you have any.
I have a question. So the first phase was the space between like Olin Park through... like through to the pier?
So it's from the tip of Olin Park for us, the tip of Olin Park to North Shore.
Okay.
It's really that causeway section.
Okay.
We're trying to call, we've been calling it the skyline because people don't want to fund a road, right? Like they're like,
yeah.
Right. So that's the section. The John Mullen Drive reconstruction actually goes from Broome to East Lakeside. So it stretches a little bit farther than the Lakeway phase one.
Okay. Is there like a semi ballpark on what the rest of the project looks like timeline wise, or is that just too far out into the ether?
Yeah, it really is. And partly, you know, if we do an amazing job with this first section and people get really excited, it will help us, right? It'll help speed the project along. We'll jump on board.
So, yeah.
Yeah. This first phase is really important for us.
Yeah.
Is the first phase going to permanently make John Olin one lane each way?
No. Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. No. When they reopen the road, it will still be two lanes in each direction, but it'll have more of a boulevard feel. There'll be down the middle, there'll be
some medians, trees.
Trees. Yes. Yeah. Almost twice as many trees as with her.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything? Yeah, Mike?
Send me about what page that tracks the John Mullen project.
So, yes, they have two web pages, one that tracks the John Mullen Drive reconstruction project, and then one page that tracks the Lakeway. And a lot of the Lakeway, they recommend you come to our website, but they have really great details there. Like when they have public information meetings or public input meetings, that's all that runs through that page. Anything else? Hi, Sherry.
Yeah, do you have a question?
Just you should disclose your board
member. Well, I am. I'm many things, but a board member is one of them.
Yes.
I just have a question regarding the flow firm. When we look at, I can't even think of it now, from the both lakes, from Monona to Wingram. Did they look at that? Because right now, one of the lakes has nothing but overgrowth in it, while the other one doesn't.
Mm.
And probably because of the bridge being so low, does Saki look at that?
So I doubt that they looked at that because it's not part of their scope. Like, they're very focused on that one particular section that they were building out for us. We do have some overlap down there.
Yeah.
Like Olin Park, is part of the Lakeway, and then it's also part of the Destination District, right? And so we're actually talking with them a bit about their, you know, what's important to them and how we can join forces to.
Well, one of the things I really like about it is a designated place for our local fishers. Are they called? I don't fish, so I don't know what they're called, to be honest with you. But there's a space for them, especially to get off of the railroad tracks, which I'm always concerned about when I see them.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Anybody else? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're building this. So, don't forget your yes.
Okay.
I will mention thanks, by the way, Jamie, for Sherry and board members, partners. But Steve's question reminded me that some of you might be interested. The city is hosting a pre-construction meeting on Zoom the night of Monday, September 22nd. Monday, September 22nd at 6:30 to discuss the construction that will be starting a few short weeks later on the causeway. So as Jamie said in response to your question, Steve, it's a little confusing because it's a city engineering division project that will be starting in a couple months for 2 years, and then Madison Parks Division project with our partners, Lakeway Partners. So there's like three different websites, engineering's, Parks Division, and then Jamie's. So we've been collaborating and coordinating as well as anyone could expect. But anyway, it will be a big deal when that causeway construction starts, obviously, including for Monona Terrace's business. And the whole issue of Monona Terrace's expansion, of course, is all part of this conversation, as we all do. To be determined, to be sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Mike. Before we move on to the Finance Committee report, I did skip over public comment, so doesn't look like we have any, but just opening that up just in case there are any public comment. All right. Seeing none, we can move right over to item 3, Finance Committee report. Glenn?
Thank you. This is a fresh report because we met an hour ago. David, Mike, and Jim and I, the staff, took the budget. I think you have a one pager here. Got second columns. That's going to be past it. I will give you a couple highlights and then maybe make a couple comments. But it's a balanced budget with the operations and the non-interest projected. I think that's the transient or room tax allocation changes last year. Get big zero on that.
I just want to apologize. I think I just gave you guys the memo and missed the last page there. Sorry.
Sir, I actually brought extra handouts for my subcommittee to recycle, so I think I made it.
Everybody needs to.
Who needs to? Sure, I definitely have extra copies. Looks like this.
Anyone? Then if you didn't want
to, magic.
Does anyone else need one? It's really up to you.
Anybody
else? No, I did another one. Yeah, there you go.
All right, so if you open that, it should be the last page. Yeah. Sorry. Well, anyway, it's got a 2-year history. Last year's adopted budget, the one that we're proposing to adopt this year. It needs approval from this board, and then it goes on to the city, right?
Yeah, the next step. Is the mayor?
Oh, the mayor
will prepare her 2026 operating budget. In fact, Connie and Jeff met with her today as part of the agency operating budget briefings, and her proposal will be introduced to the city council formally the first Tuesday in October, and then the city finance committee will consider it, and then ultimately the second week in November, the full city council will take final action on the city budget for next year.
Hold our breath until November then.
Yes. Typically, Monroe Terrace is never a controversy, fortunately. But yeah, so I wouldn't hold your breath too much.
So, Jeff, why don't you give us a couple of highlights? We do have increased revenue forecast as well as a few expenses that should be increased.
So, when we discussed this about a year ago in 2024, looking at 2025, we had 23 conventions that were on the books. And a lot of them were a lot smaller than some of the conventions we've had in the past couple of years. This year, it was made a lot easier because we presently have 27 conventions on the books, and several of them that are, the projected room rental is much higher than even the averages that we typically use. And so before Bill retired, and then with Steve coming on board and Connie, we sat down and talked about the need to generate a little bit more revenue. We're not in control of a ton of our stuff because we get information from the city with regard to permanent salaries and benefits, interdepartmental charges, and workers' comp and insurance. And so between those categories of expense, we had about $310,000 that we had to find. Luckily, like I said, there were 27 conventions that we have on the books for 2026. When we did an analysis of them, based on their anticipated room rental, plus historical ones that are coming back to us after previous times, we were able to generate a little over $500,000 more than this year's budget for conventions, which was good to help cover that 310. And it also covered a little bit less in banquets and meetings and conferences are down. But there's enough people on here that have been here for a while that know our formula is building revenues plus room tax equals expenses when we get ready to submit our budget. And so we were able to get that done. The increases in payroll, which was about $210,000, included anticipated cost of living, a bit of an increase in benefits for health insurance and Wisconsin retirement, and a new position that we have for Sarah in the AV department that's fully funded for 2026. The interdepartmental charges were mostly IT and increases to our insurance. But like I said, and like Bud said, we didn't have to increase our request for room tax from last year's budget to this year's. And we were able to submit everything. It certainly helps. And I give a big tip of the cap to Destination Madison that we do have 4 more conventions on the books for next year than we do this year. And so that part was a huge help. And the last thing I would say is that no 2 years are ever the same with regard to conventions. This year we have 23 of them, and the highest one is like $53,000 in anticipated room rental. Next year, of the the 25 definite ones, there are 4 that are greater than 50,000 and 2 of them that are greater than 80,000. And so there's going to be that's going to help a great deal to generate it, that extra revenue that we need to cover the expense increase in payroll and interdepartmental. And so, yeah, so being able to submit a zero budget without having to put a request in for additional funding from room tax or to put it into this famous fund balance applied account that would come out of our reserves or out of anticipated increases to our revenue is a great starting point. And when we met with Dave and Ryan Pennington earlier this week, they actually even said the health insurance and possibly maybe WRS, those estimates are coming back a little bit lower than what they had originally thought. So hopefully we'll actually have some money to play with instead of being up against a collar. We'll see. The only thing that I would correct is we submitted the budget to the city on July 18th. So the board is actually sort of retroactively approving it for us because it's already been submitted to the city, at least in the request form. Thank you.
Here we go. Any questions for the finance committee? If not, I guess we have to. You want to take a vote, David?
Yeah, do we have a motion on the table?
Go ahead. You go.
For a second?
Yeah.
Sure.
Do we have any discussion? Questions?
I do have one question just because I think this is probably my first time with my, like, how long I've been on seeing all of this through, but can you explain how the catering payment line item works?
That's the only question.
Did it? Yeah. I just don't know what it is. I'm not afraid to look dumb.
I have that.
Okay.
So 10 years ago, when the city introduced Munis to our system, which is the city's financial software, we do all of the accounts receivable stuff for catering. And so we're collecting their deposits and payments. And then each month they submit a monthly reconciliation that we pay them then. So with the help of the city finance or the city finance department, they said, because it's just hitting our cash account, we do have to have a pass through. So we have a revenue, we have an expense. We'll just, because a lot of times it was around $5 million that the payments from our contract catering was averaging annually. We started, I think we actually even had it at 5.5 or 6 million several years ago, but then with the pandemic and the business slowly coming back, we've lowered that to 5 million. We might have to revisit that, but it would be the same number on both the revenue and the expense side.
Okay, so that's just to effectually put a pin on the cash flow in and out. So, correct. Okay.
Follow-up question I didn't ask, though, is the profit, our share of the profit on catering is up in the individual line items.
Correct. So
each convention, the catering, that's in there.
With the reconciliation that catering provides to us, it's their total expenses for the month based on those events, less our commission, and that's a set rate based on their gross sales. So that gets taken out of that to get to a net number that we owe them for the services that they provided that month.
Okay. Makes sense.
Any other questions? All right. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstained? All right. Unanimously approved. Move on to reports. Catering report, Wendy.
Alrighty. So, as Bill mentioned earlier in the year, a lot of the big, and Jeff has said too, a lot of the bigger conventions and conferences hit us in the last half of this year. So the first half has been a little bit consistent with that. The revenues are down a little bit according to where we were last year at this time, just because September and October are going to rock us. They're really busy for us. And that's going to make up some of that revenue that we didn't have in the first half, just because of the conferences and conventions hitting later in the year. We have been very well staffed this year. Lake Vista Cafe is fully staffed currently. I will tell you that it's fully staffed with students and they're all leaving next week. So for our last probably 3-4 weeks, if we can squeeze out 4 weeks, we're going to be, down to more skeleton crew, but it was a very good season as far as staffing. We had plenty of folks. Total services, so you can kind of see for the services of quarter one and quarter two, We're down from last year at this time again, just because of the flux of how everything is hitting in the year. Total services include 276,354 guests. Last year at this time was 306,744. So it's a little bit different just because of how everything's forming this year. The Lake Vista Cafe opened on May 20th. And we continue to do pretty good. It's been a rainy and hot season, so we all know it's been rainy. And unfortunately, we don't have a little umbrella that we can put over the whole area, so we've had to close a little bit. But good traffic is happening on the weekends still. And the concerts on the rooftop did well for us, and I'm willing to day dances, and those are doing very well, so we're happy about that. We are currently down compared to last year at this time because of the rains that we've had. By about 10,000 or so. So we have two day dances left. We have one tomorrow and one the following week. And then those will be done, and then we go right into Ironman. And so we're hoping to recoup some of that with some Ironman business. We always have concessions out on Orange Terrace early morning to get everybody some coffee and something to eat. So before the race, so we're hoping to rebound there a little bit. For marketing and donations, at the end of January, we donated 1,000 petite cupcakes again for the family winter prom, which was sponsored by the Madison Parks. And then, of course, our menu showcase tastings that we held in February and March. So we had about 100 people for each one of those. And that's our bridal couples for the year. We bring them in and we just have this gourmet display of food, and they get to taste everything that's on the menu pretty much. And then we meet with them as they get closer to their wedding date. And they get to decide what they would like to eat. This year, I'm really happy to excited to tell you that we did a little bit of marketing for Lake Vista Cafe. So with the help of Kristen and the community relations and Todd helping us out with this, we made this little flyer and we sent it out to all the residential businesses within this area. It was like a I don't know, there were 900 of them that went out because there's all these new apartment complexes and condos coming up. And a lot, I think we're kind of like the hidden gem on top of the roof. So I wanted to get everybody aware of what we are. So I'll just pass that by, take a look at it. Next year, we're going to do something similar. And we are going to expand our area and see if we can attract a little bit more business up there. In the first half of the year, Monona Catering donated 2,639 pounds of food to local shelters. And we continue to be part of the food insecurity solution in our community with the weekly donations to shelters. And then we diverted 11.3 tons of post-consumer waste from the local landfill. And this program helps to reduce the environmental impact of food. Anybody have any questions?
Good. Well, first and foremost, thanks for the delicious treats today. When you're on the agenda, I always get so excited. Anyway, my first question is, and I was happy to read in your report that you're doing so well with hiring, especially LVC being full of staff. Does this mean that generally you haven't been able to bring in employees from out of state at all this year, or do you
say the last 2 years we have not brought them from Chicago? So we are still having to use temp services occasionally, you know, just based on the group size. If it's more than the employees that we have, then we might need a couple extra wait staff or a couple extra bartenders or things like that. But overall, it has decreased immensely.
Oh, great. And for the bigger events you just mentioned, do folks bus in from Milwaukee, or is it all more local?
It's more local.
You don't need buses.
I'm really happy about that. Because it was a struggle back in 22, you know, 21, 22. It's really hard to find people. And now I'm really excited that almost all of the Lake Vista Cafe folks we hired from the UW Jump Board. So
that's wonderful. Maybe some more. Stay and work in the building.
I hope so. They're all like, oh, I'm moving. See?
The other thing I just wanted to mention, it's not a question, is I was also impressed to see that you had an LBC flyer. Well, I only live a few blocks from here and I didn't receive it.
You did?
No. But anyway, when we were last in LVC together, by the way, for a retirement party, I said to Kristen, I said, a friend of mine received the concert in the roof flyer in the mail, and I didn't get one.
So you're the same area.
And she said, admitted, oh, I guess we didn't do the Bassett neighborhood. So maybe David.
I didn't get it.
Oh, David didn't get one either.
I didn't get one of those.
Or Margo got one because she also lives right. Margo's in David's building. Anyway, so if you could just. Our mutual friend Kristen maybe put a bug in her ear and say, Mike, I said again at the board meeting that could we, if you have the budget, could we expand the mailing to cover more of the downtown next year?
Absolutely.
Because that flyer is really cool. I think that would really get business. So,
yeah. And
I didn't know about either of those specials, by the way.
Yeah, these are new this year. Sunday on a Sunday. We still have it. And then our Friday Fish Fry, we ran in June and July just because Dean Dances hits on Fridays. So we enjoyed it in August.
Did catering then pay the cost of the printing and postage?
Yes,
you did. Oh.
Yes, we did.
So you actually can make the decision to mail.
Talking with the right person.
Well, my boss is right over here.
Yeah,
yes, I promise we will expand our market share next year. I think it was kind of because Kristen came to me and said, we're doing this flyer, you want to do one? I was like, yes, let's do that. And then she said, this is our area, this is what we did.
Yeah.
And then she goes, maybe next year we'll think about expanding. I was like, okay, we'll do that.
Yeah. No, she admitted to me that it was more East focused.
Yeah.
My friend whose house I saw it at lives in the Marquette neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not your flyer, hers for the concerts, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for all you do.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Any other questions? Thank you, Wendy. Booking pace update, Steve.
For one. Sorry if I'm done a little stuff yet. Now it's myself with NyQuil at night. Found out it was only allergies. So, thanks for having me. I'm filling in for 28 years. The seat was taken by Bill, so big shoes to fill here. But he trained me well, so I look forward to working with you all going forward. As far as the booking pacing goes, we're looking pretty solid for 2025. Overall, we're up 4%, 478 events over 459. Conventions haven't changed throughout the year as expected, but banquets were up 1 over last year, meetings were up 1 over last year, consumer shows were up 6 over last year, and things were up 7. So where we'd like to be at this point in 2025. Projection-wise, we're looking, from a projection-wise, we had 770 banquets budgeted for this year, and right now we're projected to be around 161. So probably a little bit short in the banquet side. Meetings, we had 134 budgeted, and right now we're projecting 105. And I'm still looking into that for some whatever reason. The meetings just haven't, whether it's funding issues or certain uncertainties, whether or not Zoom and Teams are still affecting that. We're still kind of seeing where that trend is going. But we're also looking at some promotional opportunities for blackout days, slower times, looking to run some promotions. So hopefully we can pick that up. Conventions this year are plus 2 on what was budgeted. Conferences are minus 2, but if I'm going to pick between 2, we want conventions are better. So that's a plus on that side. We're plus 7 on the consumer shows, plus 9 on the entertainment events. So right now we're projected to hit about 514 total events for this year. And Jeff will alludes to this when he talks, but we were very much front-loaded this year when it comes to events and event revenue as a whole. And 15 of our, or 18 of our 23 conventions are still yet to happen. So they're going to start in the fall. And then, so we're going to see, we've already kind of nudged our way back to close to even. We're only down 2% right now, revenues to expenses. But as soon as these conventions hit in the fall, we look for a trajectory to shoot right up and blow past expenses. So that's the expectation. Any questions?
What about the banquet trends? Banquets like you did meetings is sort of.
Yeah, banquets are, they're just a little bit shorter, so short of a budget. I'll look at the previous couple of years further and see if there's any sort of trend in that area. But, I mean, if Rhiann picks up a couple more holiday parties, we could get very close to the 170 this year. So I'm not as, I guess, concerned about that category as meetings. Meeting seems to be far short. So I wanna, that's one I really wanna kind of dig into. Banquets are, you know, I can talk with Brian and see if her thoughts might be affecting that, but maybe one or two short.
I'm just curious if they've come back from the pandemic legally or not.
Or
it's just a lot of competition.
Yeah. Well, competition for that is increasing.
Years.
I think a lot of the categories aside from conventions and conferences are approaching pre-COVID levels. I mean we're nudging up very closely to those.
Right.
Conferences and conventions, we're at about 47 this year and next year. And we'd like to be in the 60 range. So we'll work with our partners at Destination Madison to maximize that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Steve. We get the finance report by Jeff.
With a little bit, the number of banquets are down, but right now, the actual revenue that we're anticipating is slightly higher than budget by about 2%. And so, even though the number of events are actually down, the average per event has been pretty good. And so that part, you know, we typically use about $6,200 as our benchmark for banquets. And right now, with the projection that we just did, they're averaging a little bit over $6,600. And so we may be 9 events down, but the revenue is hanging in there versus budget. So that part's really good. I forgot to send an email out to the group that you guys were supposed to grill him a little bit more.
I was waiting.
Bye. I appreciate the mic.
I remember when he first came as a sales director. I said, Laura told me to hate him. Not to ask you.
So in June when we met, we were just shy of $100,000 still overspent or under revenue, depending on which way you look at it. And between June and July, we've actually had a nice comeback where I've got a few notes that I've jotted down really quickly, but with June, our revenue was about $30,000 over anticipated budget, and our expenses were underspent by about $20,000. When you round it up, it's about $60,000 that dug into that $100,000. So we were sitting at the end of June, right around $38,000. With July, it was actually, we were about $10,000 under in revenue, but we were just about $50,000 underspent on the expense side. So it helped us to the tune of about $39,000. So for the first time this year, I'm happy to report that we are $1,000 to the good year to date. So through 7 months, we're at a positive number. The biggest difference that we've talked about is you know, no 2 years of conventions are the same. And last year at this time, we had had 13 conventions already. That was through June. And through July, we had had 16 conventions for almost $1.1 million. This year, we've only had 9 to the tune of about $420,000. And so that huge discrepancy in revenue is a lot that goes toward no two conventions are the same. You know, there's a lot of them that spend a ton and they're here for 5 days and they've got the whole building. And there's other ones that are a lot smaller. And so this year we just happen to have more of the smaller ones, at least through the first 7 months. But with some of the events that we still have on the books, like Steve said, there's still a lot of conferences and conventions. That $1,000 will hopefully increase as we move forward into the fall. One precursor for next month's meeting, August is a 3-check month for us and pretty busy. And so if I have anything to not complain about, but to report on, it might be that our payroll expense was pretty big. But yeah, so for us through 7 months now to be back on the plus side is encouraging. End of report.
Thank you. Any questions? Yeah.
I just want to correct myself too. I mentioned that we're about 2% short revenue to expenses. We're actually 2% short on revenue to projected revenue. So
budgeted versus actual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. Seeing none, we can move on to the director's report. Bonnie?
Steve, do you want to cover your new hire?
Yes. Sure. My name is International. So Natalie Angus started up Monday. She's our new director of sales. She comes from the Convention Center of Dublin, CCD. She's French, but she's worked in Ireland for 10 years. She comes with a lot of preloaded knowledge that fits our bill well. There's a YouTube video of her on the internet to where she's being interviewed at the CCD. And they have a very, very unique style architecture, like we do. So she's just a good fit in many different ways. She's got a lot of experience in the industry. And she brings a little culture to the place, too.
Not that you need it.
Every little bit helps.
Well, so this job, good.
She's thrilled. No.
All the way from Dublin.
Couldn't buy a house in Ireland. That's
her husband actually is from Minneapolis. He worked for United Health. And he was stationed over there for years. He was being relocated back to the U.S. So he found a job at UW Health. They moved her family over here.
Hope you invite her to our future meetings.
The plan is for her to come to the next one.
Great.
Introduce herself.
That would be great.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Steve. I didn't want to steal your thunder on that because I think she's an exciting hire. and then on the same vein, while I was on vacation last week, Sarah and a few other people interviewed for her replacement administrative assistant position. They had a good pool. And a lot of like really good candidates. And next week I will be interviewing what they believe is the person. So I'll let you know.
Is this Sarah's final meeting with us?
No, she'll have to train the person. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll let you know when it's the end. Yeah. I'll let you know before it's the end.
So that's exciting news that there were so many good people. And
that's exciting.
Yeah. And they believe that. She's a Sarah doppelganger, so I'll be the judge of that next week.
Yeah.
I know, right? All right. And then staff, being Sarah, is exploring the drawing module offered by Momenta. So we've used Ungerbach USI for years and years, and then Momentus bought them out. And we bought the module, but we didn't exercise this particular part. So everyone I believe they're all in favor of it. But
yeah, so the enterprise system, you can plug in different modules that have different things that you can do, functionalities. And there is a built-in module that we can plug into our system that will allow the event coordinators to actually do their room drawings within Momentus versus us having to get AutoCAD licenses or, you know, some kind of CAD license separately. This also allows anyone, you don't have to have an AutoCAD software in order to open a drawing or touch up a drawing if you happen to, it's just going to be a really great investment. It also ties to your inventory, which we've never had, and we'll have it because that's going to be amazing. When you know how many high boys you have left and you don't overset your room, it's amazing. So
thank you. And then for those of you who don't know, we close down for what we call maintenance days twice a year, July and January, to kind of get caught up on cleaning mostly, but also anything that, like, the we do a lot of the maintenance of the escalators, elevators, things that we just can't shut down during a normal busy time. So during this July's maintenance days, they extracted carpet, detailed the restrooms, escalators and elevators were attended to and even repaired. And then rooftop concerts have been very successful this summer. We've been training some more people because while Roy Vail is kind of the chief manager up there for making sure that everything runs appropriately along with Misty. he apparently wants to take a vacation, so you have to train a couple people. So he's going to be training more people. And in fact, this Friday, it's going to be Ian and Patrick. I believe they're being trained. And then I think Brian Cater is actually working this one with our new facility maintenance manager, who Jeff Block, who is also volunteered because he wants to be a team player and help us out. So it should be exciting. We're expecting arrival of our new battery-powered sweeper, which is replacing our old 28-year-old LP sweeper. And during maintenance days, we have also companies coming in and checking out all of our equipment to make sure that everything's tested and operating. We have to do that, you know, fire system testing annually, and the Pertzborn sprinkler testing has to be done as well. And the kitchen needs their hoods inspected, and the fire suppression system needs to be looked at as well. So we got all that done this year. We also had a couple of strange things. We had some concrete that got cracked in the front of the building above the Grand Terrace windows. We figure it was probably a drone or something that ran into it, or something strange like that. But they were able to repair that, and it looks good. And then our front stairs started to bow. Some of the metal on the stringers started to bow a little bit, so we had engineering do a study, and they determined a way to repair that, and that was taken care of as well during the July shutdown. Schindler is our company that works on our escalators. We had a motor control box and motor kind of it was going down occasionally when, you know, at the worst possible times when there were hundreds of people in the X hall, thousands of people in the X hall. And so they had to wait till the July shutdown to repair that. I believe it's like a temporary repair because apparently do you remember where it comes from, Jeff? Like it's Germany, I believe. Yeah. The parts come from Germany. So they're on order, and the next shutdown will fully repair, but they repaired the parts that they had on hand. We did some wireless site surveying, which is the first step in replacement of our very old wireless system. It's a capital project that I'm sure Sarah will be attempting to fix in what, January?
That would be amazing.
Okay.
I'm going for that. Yeah.
Okay.
Going for that.
Right. And then AV made arrangements with IT to increase our connection speed, which I think you've already done, right?
We're so fast.
Well, that's good. Community events are the same, our same normal ones, concerts on the roofs, yoga, meditation, Lakeside Kids. Those are were very successful this year and did well. The gift shop has, again, I feel like every report I'm saying the gift shop added more product, but it's been doing really well this year. And, so they're going to continue changing out some, getting some new stuff. And then, as you already know, Bill retired, and I believe he's on vacation right now, probably. So we're so happy for him. Those of you that were at his retirement party, it was a very nice event and a nice send off, I guess. And so we're super happy for him. We have not heard or seen from him, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing. He had two vacations planned right away. When he gets back, I'm sure he'll appear.
I thought he'd go to the potluck yesterday.
No, he's probably
he's out of town.
Is he in Ireland?
I think he's overseas.
Yeah. I think he's in Ireland.
Right. The convention center.
All right.
Yeah.
Can't escape.
Yeah.
That's one. And I think the only other thing I was going to mention was that San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce will be here next week with a group of around 30 community leaders for an economic development panel. We actually had a conference call with them or a Zoom meeting with them Monday. And they are kind of teed us up with questions that they are wanting to know. So their plan is to build a convention center, and they also want to, you know, much like back in, you know, 1997 when we first started or opened, the downtown, you know, was kind of dead around the Capitol. And so over the years, it's done extremely well, and it's very vibrant. And so they're trying to replicate that. They're looking at places, and I don't know how they got Manon, or not only Manon Terrace, but Madison. I don't know how they picked us, but somehow the word has gotten out that we have a thriving downtown, very successful convention center. And so they're just coming to Madison to try to learn as much as they can, get as much information as they can to help them kind of develop a plan and move forward, and hopefully for them get a convention center built and their downtown back on track. So the people on the committee the panel will be myself, Ellie Westman-Chin, and Matt Mikulaszewski. So I think that's all I have. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you, Connie. Mm-hmm. Well, looks like we got through our agenda. Still alive, so. Take a motion to adjourn. Thank you. We're adjourned.
Really? Get it off to close.
I have to get out of here.
I feel like every time we do these meetings, I do the new product. I'm like, oh, I want to go look at this. And then I'm like, oh, Ren, I'm going to come early, which is hard. Because, right? So it's a plan in advance. But I don't think there's a lot of people down there.
They do have a lot of people. Right, if you want to buy like a gift for somebody,
yes,
yeah. There's
Oh, right. I know. Thanksgiving. They have
them back.
Okay, I feel like I remember this being discussed last year, and I was like,
yeah, bad.
Yeah, okay. I was like, oh, I gotta put that in my reminder list.
I'm afraid. If you're in the room, you're
I have to go to the bathroom and then I'll take this down.
You
should,
no worries.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no
problem. Yeah. The you too. Go, Leva. How are you doing?
Good.
No, busy. So busy.
Yeah.
Is that pretty good?
Yeah, he talked about how all the multifamily are to be building.
Okay, yeah.
So you're going to the Elks Club?
Oh, you're coming too. That's awesome.
Oh, you're going to the Elks Club?
Yes, I was just talking about the group text about it.
Are you going?
No. Oh, but you were invited.
I thought she was going the way she said that. I thought you would go for sure. Oh,
okay. Look what this is. Sherry's application to join the Elks Club. I have the honor of sponsoring her. Barbara's being initiated in a couple weeks, and she couldn't be more excited.
That's who I've been there with.
Oh, yes.
You should serve
guys. Cynthia had dinner there a couple of weeks, Fridays ago.
The PIO is awesome.
For a fire? You know,
weren't you in engineering before?
No, she was on some public radio before.
No,
bye, Glenn.
You guys
take care.
You can have a nice drink.
See you at room tax.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is fun. Oh.
I'm glad you were invited, though. Who invited you?
Barbara, she was just walking.
Oh. The person that organized it was Marsha Rummel.
Oh,
yeah, wow. I didn't tell you.
Marsha,
so
Rummel?
It's
she's a member.
Yeah,
Marsha's a member.
Yeah.
Oh my God! It's supposed to
so it's so Rummel. Many neighbor people in the Market Neighbor Association. I guess are members. So it was myself, Marsha, Barbara, Sherry, Nasra, and Debbie Field. And now we're going to invite you.
Put me on the list.
Definitely.
But sure,
I feel bad stealing business away from Liberty Station, though.
I know.
You feel bad.
So you have to explain to Katie who you're choosing over our fine group tonight. Why you're not going to.
A co-worker. Excessive job.
Going to her party. Oh, that's kind of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's important, is that?